Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. ChooseWood.com.
From St. Louis Public Radio. This is St. Louis on the Air.
Called Vitis vinifera, or vinifera grape. And that is what, when you're drinking a Cab Sav or a Pinot Noir or a Shiraz, generally that's what you're drinking. However, it doesn't have any natural protections from this phylloxera insect. It is now the way most vineyards are growing their vinifera grapes, is on grafted rootstock. There's only a handful of vineyards around the world that don't graft.
I'm Rod Milam, in for Sarah Fenske. Modern-day France has literal roots and stems and leaves that originate from Missouri. Here to discuss a new exhibit at the Missouri Botanical Garden called Grafting the Grape, American Grapevine Rootstock in Missouri and the World, is Neshka Pfeiffer, curator of the Stephen and Peter Sachs Museum at the Missouri Botanical Garden. Good afternoon, Neshka. Thank you very much for joining us here on St. Louis Public Radio.
Good afternoon, Rod. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm really glad to speak with you. I had a chance over the rainy weekend to actually go to the reopened museum, and it was really very interesting. It was a little bit of history that I knew that Missouri had something to do with wine and France. Can you tell us a bit about that exhibit and what it represents?
Thank you so much, and thanks so much for coming to check it out. The exhibition focuses on the botanical kind of saving of the wine industry in the late 19th century. One of the key issues that took place in the mid-1800s was that an insect that is known for feeding on grapes, the common name is called grape phylloxera, it is an American insect, somehow was brought over on American grapevine plants to Europe and slowly started causing devastation. It landed most likely in the Canary Islands in about 1851. That's when they think they've tracked it. But it actually spread through Portugal and Spain, but it really devastated the French vineyards because so much of the French agricultural product was related to wine and the vineyard grapes. So the grapes grow all over the world, I mean, in different tropical climates and some temperate climates, but the one that everybody likes to drink or most normally or most obviously thinks of when they think of wine is the central Asian and European grapevine berry. And I'm just going to call that by its species name, which is called Vitis vinifera, or vinifera grape. And that is what, when you're drinking a Cab Sav or a Pinot Noir or a Shiraz, generally that's what you're drinking. However, it doesn't have any natural protections from this phylloxera insect. When the phylloxera slowly was spreading throughout the vineyards in Europe, it basically was munching them to bits. The roots were completely devastated. And in late 19th century France, the vintners did not know what this was. One of the interesting aspects of this insect is it's not microscopic, but it is quite difficult to see. And so originally they thought maybe it was a fungal blight or some other issue of climate change, but it was the work of an English entomologist who had actually become the Missouri State entomologist, Charles Valentine Riley, and the garden's first botanical advisor, Dr. George Engelmann, who was a German immigrant and who had spent a lot of time studying American grape species here in Missouri, that they realized that it was actually this insect because they'd seen evidence of the insect here in Missouri. And then once this identification took place, and it wasn't instantaneous. It probably took about 30 years for people to actually agree that this was the reason that caused the devastation. And the innovation that took place included viticulturists here in Missouri as well as in France, realizing that if they were able to still make the European grapevine grow on a grafted rootstock using the rootstock from America, which did have chemical compounds that sort of kept the phylloxera from completely munching it. It only just slightly bothered the plant. They basically basically infusing those two different plants together, they could then save, regrow the French wine industry and basically save wine for Europe. And then in effect, it actually, it is now the way most vineyards are growing their vinifera grapes is on grafted rootstock. There's only a handful of vineyards around the world that don't graft. And so I would say probably 90% of the world's wine industry depends on Missouri rootstocks.
So Missouri is literally around the world, but when you graft two plants, and again, this is not my area of expertise, don't you change the actual product if you're sticking one thing, the top, say the leaves and the stems, on to the roots? So maybe if you had one type of grape and then you took one from somewhere else, it changes the grape completely the product?
That's a very good question. And contemporary scientists are actually finally exploring those questions. Originally, when the grafting first took place, they did not think there was much effect or much difference. But it is now Dr. Allison Miller, who's a professor of biology at St. Louis University and is also a principal investigator at the Danforth Plant Science Center, has actually been studying different rootstock species and how they affect the grape plant that is grafted onto it. And you call that berry that's been grafted onto the rootstock the scion plant. And they actually have seen that different species do, in fact, affect leaf size and shape, and most specifically and most importantly for winemakers, the final berry product. It actually will change the measurements of the different chemical compounds that once they go through the fermentation process and aging process to become wine will actually taste differently than what you would think if it was not at all affected or not at all grafted.
So that's interesting. So if you said maybe took a native Missouri grape like a Norton and you stuck it on top of a Cabernet Sauvignon grape, what does that become? Is it something totally different, a different tasting wine, or is it called something different?
Oh, that's a good question. It's not grafted in quite that way. The Norton grape is one of the grapes that does because it's a Native American grape, it has a little bit more protection from phylloxera than the vinifera grape, and a Cab Sav would be a vinifera grape. What they have done, and a lot of the Missouri wine industry includes these kind of grapes, is actually hybridized or crossbred vinifera grapes with American grape species, so like a Norton or one of the other species. And so the wines that we think of that are called Chamberson, Vignole, Vidal Blanc, those are in fact French-American hybrid grapes, so they're not grafted at all. So they do taste different, and they do, the berries are different, and the final output of the flavor is different.
That's interesting. So when I went to the exhibit, I didn't get any wine, but I did see a lot of things on the first and second floors of the exhibits. Can you describe a bit what people will see when they actually do show up at the Missouri Botanical Garden?
Oh, thank you. Yes. So we have two floors and three galleries. The lower level gallery features the artwork of just one artist named Dornith Doherty. She is well known for featuring plants in her work, but she decided to take the three kind of section part of the story, the phylloxera insect, the Native American grapevines, and then also the scientific scans of rootstocks of these American grapes, and craft short films as well as these beautiful large electron microscope scanned images of phylloxera. So you sort of get a little bit of the taste of all of that. Unfortunately, we do not have offer tastes of a wine. Unfortunately, the galleries, we don't allow that. But when you go upstairs into our main galleries and the South Gallery, we have artworks by another pair of artists named Leigh Hahn and Lorraine Walsh, who've actually created a minimalist sculpture featuring the wine trellis, including drawings of the scion and drawings of rootstock to sort of talk about what that actual process looks like, as well as several short films in which they've taken machine learning software and fed into it all sorts of images and data about grapes and created unique new artworks that sort of show growing grapevines and unique grapevines that don't actually exist in nature, which is kind of fun. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Lastly, the main gallery that we have has a very Victorian interior with lots of glass-fronted cabinets, and those are perfect for displaying specimens. And so in those displays, Trailblaze, I feature the narratives that talk about George Engelman and the hunt for the phylloxera and understanding what grafting is, as well as what the contemporary science that's being done related to grafting in wine, as well as, of course, you know, showing lots of glasses and decanters and talking about the material culture of making wine and enjoying it.
So it seems like it's a multimodal sort of presentation that you have. And when I actually did go by, I was very interested in the multimedia piece that was entitled A Degree Warmer. And it wasn't just a series of animations that you had, but you also had some interesting sound that went along with that. And underneath that animation and that sound, it seems like it's called A Degree Warmer because since the pre-industrial times, the temperature on Earth has actually risen 2 degrees, and it's supposed to be the melding of the river into roots, using that sound to represent that. Am I correct?
Yes, that's right. Lay and Lorraine actually worked with a composer who created that electronic composition to encompass their ideas about that artwork.
Okay, that's great. Well, Nejka Pfeiffer, I'd like to thank you very much for coming on the air today on St. Louis on the Air. You are the museum curator at the Saxe Museum at the Missouri Botanical Garden, and the exhibition that we've been talking about, Grafting the Grape, American Grapevine Rootstock in Missouri and the World, is now open. And for more information, you can go to our website at stlpr.org/stlonair. Nejka Pfeiffer, once again, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here. Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks. St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. ChooseWood.com.